I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to Primetime with Isaac and Suk as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing, Stark Street Lawn and Garden, by Washman Car Wash, Rebel Yell Bourbon, and by Big Fat Wieners. Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
You got another thing coming, rocket to the door.
Gloria, Gloria,
I love your peanuts, man.
Hell no. Now that makes my mouth feel good.
My mouth was big enough that it just fit in nicely.
Should you?
You got another thing coming, rocket to the door.
Did you miss those?
Did that happen while I was gone?
Yes, it did, sir.
Wow.
Well, it's that Judas Priest ad that we play.
Yeah.
Because they're coming to town. I love that ad.
I think they already came to town.
Oh, was that this weekend?
I think it was this weekend.
Well, it's a good thing we have those drops to look back on. Fondly, the Judas Priest ad. But
That was great.
Thank you.
When you leave and you come back, you're like, oh, all these new drops.
Yeah, so I just love that ad because it really made me want to go to the show. Because normally I'd be like, Judas Priest, oh, they're old. Why would I go? But then the way the guy sings on the, like, they play, they don't try to fake, they don't play like the original Judas Priest songs, you know?
Sure.
They play concert versions. And the way that guy, Rob Halford?
Yes.
The way he sings that, I loved it so much that not only did I have to recreate it on the air, I had to, I didn't go to the show, but I
I love that you're like,
it
made me want to go to the show, and yet you weren't aware.
You're not getting me to a Judas Priest show.
No,
however,
breaking the law, breaking the law.
But they didn't sing it like that.
To the door.
See what I mean? Do you know
you
that
got
ad I'm
another thing coming?
Yes, I know the ad of what yours be.
So good.
And it's just, it's another, it's really just another in your extensive catalog as the songbird of our generation.
Yeah, thank you.
It's quite impressive. And you know the range. Everything from Smokey Mountain Rain, Bertie Higgins to Judas Priest. I mean, you do it all. You really Fine Young Cannibals, Guns N' Roses. I mean, the range. It's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Where's your Vegas show?
Good question.
America's Got Talent, anyone? I think American Idol's coming here.
It is?
Yeah, I saw one of those company-wide emails that I don't really pay attention to. Well, let's be honest, I don't pay attention to many emails. But it was some sort of thing where it was like American Idol fans, Portland, blah, blah, blah. So I inferred because I didn't read the email, but from the headline and the preview, I believe I deduced that American Idol's coming here.
Can I make a American Idol observation?
Yeah, go for it.
Before we get to our airline story that we need to talk about?
Yeah.
I watched American Idol recently.
Did you really?
Uh-huh. Because
it went away and now it's back.
It is back, and the judges are Lionel Richie, some country bro, and Katy Perry.
Now, Lionel Richie is coming, and you better believe that I want to go to that show.
And then Ryan Seacrest hosts it.
Yeah, Seacrest out. I think he, like, I don't know if he owns it, but I think he's like his production company like puts it on.
So I was watching it because one of the contestants was really good. Like it caught my, I was like, man, that whoever it was, and I think that person ended up winning it. Yeah, some kid from Louisiana.
Sure.
Did you see that?
No,
you didn't see it.
Honestly, the last American Idol person that I honestly think I know would maybe be like a Carrie Underwood. Like,
oh, jeez.
Who was the big Ruben Studdard? I don't even know if he won. The big guy?
I don't think he did win. That was season two.
Oh.
And then Carrie Underwood, I think, was season three.
Who was the first one? Wasn't it Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
But I honestly haven't seen American Idol in years.
This pertains to nothing.
Okay.
But I just wanted to point out, and if anybody's watched American Idol, the newest American Idol with Katy Perry and Ryan Seacrest on there, and the way they produce the show, the way it's shown to you, does anybody else think that looks like Hunger Games?
Really?
Dude, their outfits are like off the wall.
The contestants or the judges?
Everybody. Huh. The hair's weird. It looks like.
Does someone die? Because I might tune in for that.
It looks like Hunger Games.
Huh.
And that was my only thought when I watched American Idol last.
Now, let me ask you this.
Because Seacrest is like the host lady on the Hunger Games. Seacrest kind of dresses like that. He dresses all funky.
Elizabeth Banks, right, I think is the host of the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a new she does a game show now.
I think she's doing Press Your Luck,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
she?
Yeah, exactly.
I like me some Elizabeth Banks. Let me ask you something. Does American Idol spice it up if there's a chance of a contestant being killed or maimed?
Yeah, as long as we see it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty barbaric, but, I mean, aren't we already there as a country? Like, if I told you that there was, like, I don't want to say death, but what if I told you that one of the contestants, like, there is, like, imminent danger that could lead to death? It probably wouldn't, but, hey, you know.
Well, this goes to our theory of.
I think that's way more interesting.
Of, like, randomly placed, severely hungry crocodiles or alligators placed on a baseball diamond?
Exactly. I'm not necessarily saying that someone's going to die, but it certainly is. The potential's there.
What if we did that?
More interesting.
What if we put them on stage?
Yeah. Ooh. How about that?
Dangled chicken from a guy's guitar? See what happens.
What if you put like a... Well, here's the thing. Like, what if you put like a hungry wolf or like a cougar and... You know, there's no guarantee that the cougar or the wolf's going to attack.
They may just sit there.
But it's on the stage with you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Same as a gator.
Yeah. Just kind of see what happens. What
about, does he go for the chicken or does he not?
What about the snake? You know, like the snake charmer thing? What if we put, like, a poisonous cobra on the stage? You have to perform, but the entire time keeping an eye on the snake. I'm telling you, that.
It's great TV.
That gets me way more than what American. I haven't watched American Idol in years. You introduce dangerous animals, all of a sudden I'm on board.
You can juke them out and put a fake cougar up there for some of the performances, and then all of a sudden there's a real one.
it's not the real one, and you go over to it, next thing you know, it's on top of you. And then, you know, we've got, you know, it's like a stun gun available or whatever. We can pull the animal off you.
That might not be a bad thing, depending on what cougar it is.
I think that's where Jennifer Lopez comes in.
And then the python attacks Ryan Seacrest and kills him.
Hey.
Whoa.
You're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, right? I'm guessing Seacrest is behind some sort of protective plexiglass sort of thing. Seacrest isn't putting himself in harm's way. But the guy on there for like $1 million, yeah, he'll do it. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You would get people to sign up. Like, if I told you that you were going to have some NBC game show and you had to, like, run, like, an obstacle course, like an American Ninja Warrior sort of thing, but then you're going to have to up the prize. Actually, I don't think you would. You could say it was like $100,000 to $1 million, whatever you want to put out there. Any sum of money, but I put dangerous animals on the course, people would still do it.
Yeah, because people will do anything to get on TV.
Yes.
Or make a lot of money.
100%. I could literally be like, if you fall here, you are falling into a pit of snakes. And I'm talking like dangerous snakes.
Yeah.
Not like some sort of sissy like little thing that's just going to scare you, like Fear Factor. No. Dangerous things. Or let's say there's like a wolverine at like a if you fall. Idiots would still do it. 100%.
Now, if you did fall into that pit of snakes.
Yeah. Poop myself.
What? You could get out of there, right?
Like,
let's say they dropped you in there. Like, it was an obstacle course or whatever. And you fall into it.
Yeah.
And these are terribly dangerous and poisonous snakes,
yeah.
Some of which are constrictors. Okay, you got everything that's really bad.
Yeah, I got them all.
They're all in there.
Yeah.
But the second you fall in,
yeah,
there's a ladder, you climb out. Is anything bad happening?
Yeah, the poisonous snake.
You think he strikes you because you startle? Like you when you jump in, yeah. It gets it's
well,
like
you, yeah, you fall in. You're cooked. Well, you may not die.
Dead?
Well, there may be some anti-venom, but you're getting bit. Like you're talking about a pit of snakes.
Yeah, you're getting bit.
You're getting bit multiple times.
But I think what if it's deep enough that you can't avoid the constriction? Like the constrictor gets your leg or something.
Yeah, it's scary.
But that would take time.
I feel like the real danger, I feel like you're getting out of the pit, but you're getting out of the pit with multiple bites. And then at that point, it's life flight.
Yeah.
Let's hope the anti-venom is on site. Look,
people would do it. You're right.
I know this is barbaric, and there would be a whole outcry because someone would say, why don't we think of the children or whatever? But
hey, look, it's voluntary.
Network television is struggling right now. We need something to up the ante. Quite frankly, because what I'm seeing on TV right now isn't doing it for me.
It's like American Idol meets Survivor.
Yes. Now we're talking. Like, do you ever watch Naked and Afraid?
My wife does.
No, I do. I watch that show.
She loves that show.
And there's serious consequences to that. There's people that, like, get messed up and have to be, like, taken out of there and, like, they get parasites. There's some bad stuff. But I feel like that show, I feel like it's a little bit fake and that they do protect the people from... like the real dangers, like when they're swimming across the pond or whatever, and there's like poisonous snakes and gators in there. I think that they shoo those things away. No. I want to see the real interaction. They'll be out there like in the middle of nowhere. They're buck naked. It's the middle of the night. When someone hears like a jaguar or whatever, I want to see the little handheld camera when the jaguar comes in. That's what I want to see on TV. I want to see man versus beast. Most dangerous game. Let's make that happen.
He said, what if your house was on fire plus there's snakes everywhere? Could you still escape?
Well, Sook would. If you've ever listened to this show,
look,
that's nothing for Big Zook.
The fire, I feel like I'm okay. The snake, that's scary.
You would choke and die twice. Be the only human ever to choke and die twice.
The snake would constrict me
and you would choke.
What did he die of? Well, he died of smoke and he died of snake constriction.
We don't know who to credit more for Big Sook's death.
Double death. Put that on the fire snake. That's the official cause of death.
All right. A woman says she fell asleep on a short flight and woke up on a dark parked plane. Question, how does this happen? Next on The Fam.
Busan Power!
All right, back live here at the Fan Golf Classic, Langdon Farms. We're expecting a whirlwind of half-drunk golfers here shortly. The afternoon shotgun is winding down. This story comes to us from Montreal.
Montreal.
By the way, you missed the big news last week of Montreal and Tampa splitting the Rays.
I saw that, and am I wrong in thinking that's the dumbest idea that I've ever heard?
No, you're not.
Let me ask, if they make the playoffs, because the Rays are good, who gets the playoff games?
We'll worry about that later.
Playoffs?
So it's so bad in Tampa, and we can't build a stadium, and no one will go to it, so we give it to Montreal?
Yeah, it's dumb. I just think the owner of the Rays eventually wants to take the team to Montreal, and this is a way to do it without looking so bad in Tampa. Seriously.
So you
split? No, he has no plans on splitting. That's just an idea they're floating out there to get people stirred up. What he's going to do is he's going to try to get a ballpark in Tampa. They're not going to build him one. He knows that.
Yeah.
And he's already laying the groundwork to move to Montreal.
Well, why can't he move to Portland?
That's what I think. Yeah, it's a good question. All right, so here – so
real quick, hold on.
This focus.
Because I did not see – this. Montreal doesn't have a stadium, though.
No. They would get a new – they would – this stupid idea, they would – have a new one in both cities. But that's not going to happen. It'll never happen.
Okay.
A woman boarded an Air Canada flight earlier this month, fell asleep after takeoff, and woke up alone in a dark parked plane, apparently forgotten about by ground staff.
Yeah, she was trapped in there.
Tiffany Adams and her story was posted by a friend on Air Canada's Facebook page, drawing incredulous reactions from readers and a request for details from the airline. Well, according to the post, she was going from Quebec to Toronto when she fell asleep, aided by the fact that she'd ended up with a whole row of seats to herself. She woke up in pitch black with the plane having landed. Apparently, it had already been towed away from the airport after passengers and crew had disembarked.
So was she laying down across the seats then?
Doesn't say that. She says, I think I'm having a bad dream because, like, seriously, how does this happen? She wrote. She briefly called a friend but was cut short because her phone battery died. So she's on the plane and she can't get out. Unbelievable.
When I first saw this story, I just was like, there's just no way. Like, how on... But every time you read a story like this, you say, you know, no way. And yet, sure enough, I mean, it happens. Strange things like this. But, like, how do you not wake up? How does the ground crew miss you? Do they not go through the airplane after it's all done? The stewardess has to walk by you?
Which is more shocking? The fact that they didn't find her? Or the fact that she didn't wake up?
The only thing that I'll say about not waking up is she had to have been A, drunk, or B, you know, a lot of times people that have anxiety about flying will take like Xanax or whatever. You take like a couple Xanax, you maybe take some Benadryl or something. I can see someone just zonking out and not waking up.
That's a really short flight, too.
Yeah, right. Right, that's not one that you just
no,
like.
No, that's true.
So anyway, she says she found a torch in the cockpit. She went to the cockpit.
She found a torch.
She found a torch, one of those, flare type things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so she managed to open one of the doors, but faced a drop of up to 50 feet to get out of the plane. So she used the torch to draw the attention of a luggage cart driver who arrived to find her with her legs hanging out of the plane's open doorway.
Why didn't the emergency slide happen?
I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, well, here's the thing. Like, she opened the front door.
Don't you think the emergency slide has to be, what's the word? Deployed by something in the cockpit?
No.
Because it doesn't, it's not going to, every time the door opens, it's not going to come out.
No, but that's my thing. She went off the front door. She should have gone off of one of the emergency exits. Because that does,
remember, we had
the airline bro that quit a couple years ago. And he said, F it, and he opened the emergency door. The slide came out, and then you jumped on it, and he slid away. That was her fault for opening the front door. She should have gone with the emergency door. Although I don't know if you can get in trouble for that, because is that technically an emergency? I don't know.
Okay, so she's...
You get into the beverage cart, do you?
Well, I think you... Yeah.
Yeah, you rummage? I mean, she's rummaging
around... They're not charging me for that.
She's rummaging around the cockpit. Does she find
Have a cocktail while you're at
it? Does she find the switch that turns on the airplane?
Hey, it might be a great night's sleep.
I was going to say, maybe you hang out for a little bit. I don't see what's happening. I'll tell you what, I would poke around a bit. I wouldn't just be like, well, I'm getting off this plane. No. If I knew I was on there alone, I'd poke around.
So she drew the attention of the luggage cart driver, and she said that he is in shock, asking, how on earth did they leave you on this plane? And she said, well, I'm wondering the same thing. Air Canada apologized for the incident. She said she hasn't had much sleep since and is struggling with night terrors. Oh, she's setting up for a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. And she's had... Shut up. You can't sleep and you've had night terrors. Zip it.
And Air Canada says says it's reviewing the episode but declined to offer further details.
I need details.
How does this happen?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Well, don't they clean the airplane though, right?
Right.
I mean, after
you think
done,
so?
They go through the airplane. I see the people walking up and down the aisle and they throw away the trash and whatnot. Even if she was laying down across the seats, they did not see the only person on the airplane?
Crazy.
I don't know which one's more unbelievable. There had to be drugs involved. There's no way that a normal human being just fell asleep on an airplane and missed everyone getting
right
up and leaving.
You wake up.
Yes.
She was on something.
She was on something.
She took something. No question. But how did the
do we know how big, do we know how big the airplane was? Because
nope.
If it was a short flight, maybe it was a small one and there was only like one stewardess. I don't know. I'm just thinking of like a major airline, like a, you know, you fly in a 737. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way they could do that.
Yeah. It's crazy. Kind of reminds me of the time I woke up naked in the back of my car in Kansas and I don't know what happened. What?
Have you ever had anything where you've woken up in all seriousness in a situation that you were like, what?
No. I was just kidding about that.
Yeah, I've never had that in my entire life.
No, I don't. Yeah, no, and I don't. There is zero chance that I would have slept through
a landing?
Yeah, and all of that. There's just no way.
Well, and here's the other thing. Let me ask you this. Why I think that this story is a bit odd. When they're getting ready to land, they come on the loudspeaker and tell you, we're starting our initial descent.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, they come on and tell you that they're landing and the time and temperature. And then the stewardess comes around and makes sure that your stupid seat is up and that your armrest is down and your bag's under. You went through all of that. All of the announcements, the lights come on the airplane, all that, and then the landing, you hit the runway, and you're back. There's just, it's, this seems.
The only thing I can think of is that they just, this the air, the flight attendants wanted to get out of there, and they just didn't do their posts, they didn't do their landing checks or whatever, like, you know, check all the seats. They just got out of there.
They were like, they got out. Night, I'm done.
I mean, I don't know how often that happens. Maybe you folks that are in this business could tell us. But
yeah, we've got a stewardess that listens
like
to us.
Like maybe this happens all the time where they just don't do the seat checks or what. I mean, all it takes is for them not to just go check the seats.
Well, then it takes someone obviously being doped up on something to sleep through all.
Right.
I just think it's amazing that a human being can sleep through all that.
No, I couldn't agree more about that. But if you're saying if she's completely conked and she's on drugs, so she's not waking up. That means that nobody saw her, nobody went and checked all the seats, nobody cleaned the seats, nothing.
No.
And I'm guessing maybe, that's common.
But
this doesn't happen very often.
But. I guess. Has this ever happened? I don't know if is there a way to find that out, but I've never heard of this. Is anyone else?
No, this is a one-off for me, too.
You just wake up, like, in the plane graveyard? I do, and this is the other thing.
We're going to get some more info on this,
though. I just find it odd that she's already doing the night terrors and can't sleep.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is all a setup.
Traumatizing.
She was hiding in the can or something.
Or, like, she cut a deal with the crew.
Something.
Hey, I'm going to get a bunch of money. I'll cut you guys in.
This is like those.
Just don't wake me up.
You know those two ladies that remember they were like out at sea for like a month or two, right? Their boat had capsized.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they were trying to sail around the world, and it just was one of those stories that didn't seem to add up. I'm putting this in that category where two and two isn't adding up to four.
There's
here.
More to this.
Something strange,
nefarious.
Yeah, something strange is going on here. I don't buy it.
Okay, if your skydiving plane goes down, would you not skydive from it?
Well, doesn't that seem like if you are going to be in a plane that fails, wouldn't that be the best situation to be in?
You would think, but that happened. And nobody skydove from the plane, at least I don't think.
Really?
And then we also have we have another American dead in the Dominican.
How many is that?
That's
now?
10.
Good grief. Same minibar?
Well, no, it's not a minibar thing. I'll explain to you. There are a lot of people that have come back that are from Dominican Republic who were sick but didn't die. And they are telling a different tale of how this is happening.
Ooh, see, I want to know. When I was on a vacation out of Cape Cod, the whole Dominican thing, because I was with a bunch of people from the
is
East
Coast.
Is
it a big
deal? Yeah. They all go down there. Yeah. Like, well, Mike went down there.
So were they canceling
the East Coast people,
trips?
This is like Hawaii to them. Right.
Oh, yeah. They're canceling
trips. People bail left and right. Like, nope.
Right. All right. Well, we'll get to that next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Now, we were saying that we might have some inside scoop here because we've got a stewardess that listens to the program and chimes in from time to time. But apparently, you know, her boyfriend's a listener as well. And he has informed us via the Better You Today text program that she was recently fired.
Oh.
And apparently after 5 years, she Dear John'd him. I didn't know that was still a thing.
What does that mean?
She wrote him a Dear John letter. She broke up with him without, like, telling him. She just left.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
5 years. Way to laugh. The poor guy's listening right now.
Well, I'm not laughing at.
You are laughing
no,
at
No, I'm
him.
Not.
5 years.
I'm laughing at the.
And I guess.
Well, I am kind of laughing.
And he said she was hot because I remember back when this first started, I was like, hey, by the way, is she hot? He's like, yeah.
So wait, so she
got dumped by a hot stewardess after 5 years.
And that's because she got fired? She kind of had this big moment that happened in her life, and so then she.
That I don't know.
She kind of ran away.
He just said the flight attendant listener was my girl because I mentioned, you know, we got a flight attendant that listens to us. And she's chimed in a time or two, but I'm guessing she listened because of her boyfriend. And said the flight attendant listener was my girlfriend, and she was recently fired, so she's of no help. She also Dear John'd me 3 weeks ago after 5 years, so she can go to hell.
Just because she got fired doesn't mean she can be of no help, but the Dear John thing throws a wrench into this.
Yes.
Because he doesn't know where she is.
No.
Wow. That's weak.
That's brutal. Like, the ghosting thing is a real thing, but 5 years, and you're just like, by the way, and we're done. Like, I always thought that was like a sitcom sort of thing. Like, who's got the balls to? Well, apparently she does.
See, I don't think
that takes
that
off.
I don't think that takes balls.
No?
No, I think what
I
takes
have to be
more
like
balls,
a sociopath.
Well, I think, I'm not saying you don't have to be a sociopath, but I think it's weak to do that and not talk to the person. Like, it takes less balls to just run. She basically just ran off.
Yes, but to have the – see, and this is where I disagree. I think you have to have a certain level of courage to do something so crappy, knowing that everyone will judge you. And by the way, I am judging right now, as everyone else is. And for you to be like, I don't care. I don't want to deal with this, so I'm leaving.
Now, I view her as spineless, but I think it's semantics.
Either way, can we admit that it's cold?
Little cold-hearted.
I mean, that's cold-hearted. Well, like, if I get it, like, if you're going out with someone for, like, you always hear, like, the ghosting stories, and I'm like, were you really going out? Well, no. We messaged a couple times, and then just nothing. But there's a difference between ghosting someone after, like, I don't know, hanging out a couple times or even seeing someone for a week or two and 5 years.
But you know what? If she explains it all right there in the letter, it's like, oh, all right. Move on.
You think somewhere deep down he was happy? What if I, like, just deep down he was like, what? It's over and I don't have to go through any of the...
So if she's capable of doing that, yes, somewhere deep down he was happy.
You know, there's no more, like, he doesn't have to deal with, like, there's no crying, there's no awkwardness. He's like, what? I'm just done? And that's like the world's easiest breakup, like, of all time. Because if you remember back, we've all been there before where someone's like, hey, you know, we shouldn't see each other anymore. And you're like, great.
Perfect. Jeez, I was thinking the same thing. I am so heartbroken.
I've been waiting. We've all done the pretend. Oh, man, this is really devastating. In your mind, you're like, you're high-fiving yourself in your head. You're like, good. This is over.
We have a 10th American who is dead in the Dominican Republic. Now, this is once again respiratory distress.
Oh, and by the way, he's saying that he was not happy. He was quite devastated.
Nobody's saying he would be happy.
No. Sorry if we were making light of your situation.
Oh, did you offend him?
He did say, Jesus, guys, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, so, sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about it.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, you'll move on.
You will. There's a thousand fish in the sea.
Plenty of
maybe even a million.
There you go.
So they say it's respiratory distress, heart attack, right? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
American, Dominican Republic resort, dead. Just
super dead.
Dead.
Yeah, gone.
So many thought it was the minibar thing, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because a couple of people had in common that they had taken a drink from the minibar. And then there was
if you can't trust a minibar, who the hell can you trust?
Well, there was this idea that that people were sneaking in there and putting poison into the minibar bottles, which, I don't know. Those are seals.
Seems a bit far-fetched.
Seems a little.
Yeah.
So anyway, now Americans who got sick over there and didn't die are shedding light on what happened.
Aha!
And there's a couple different accounts. One is, one woman said that they smelt a strong sort of intense chemical odor in their room before falling ill. And the doctors that saw them here think that it was like a chemical in an insecticide.
Oh.
And then another account was...
It's like there's like bed bugs in the room. People are spraying them down.
Yes.
And then you're like laying down on the pillow and you're ingesting it.
Yes, exactly. So... So she said she got nauseous, drooled uncontrollably, stomach cramps, teary eyes, sweating. Same symptoms as a lot of the other people, but she didn't die. She got home.
Maybe it's too, like, you're only in the room for a day or two versus someone that maybe is in there for multiple days.
Well, I think these people sought help. Like, one woman said the hospital looked scarier than being sick there.
Yeah.
So a lot of people didn't go to the hospital because I'm not messing with that. I'll just fight through it.
Sure.
Until I'm home, and then you're dead.
That's what happened to me, like, when in Bali, when I got bit by, the monkey and became patient zero. Honestly, my hand, like, finger was bleeding pretty good, and then I saw the first aid station, and I literally was like, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm just gonna get some hand sanitizer, put it on there, and I'm gonna call this solid." So that, I mean, I can totally see that when someone's like, eh. Because at that point, like, if you start feeling sick, you probably think you had some bad water.
Yeah.
Like, we've all been to island countries or down in Mexico or whatever, and you go on a booze cruise or whatever, and the ice or the water or whatever gets you, and, you know.
You're down for a couple days.
You're down for a couple days, and you rally.
So another account said, this woman said she took a nap under the AC unit and woke up with her nose and throat basically just burning from whatever was coming through the ducts. And she got really sick. But, again, she was another one that
went and got help.
That got help and made it out alive. So that's what they're saying. That's the latest on the DR. Ten American, and again, they're all Americans,
yeah,
which is odd. But maybe it is an insecticide.
Well, and that's, you know, you'd be getting pumped in through an air conditioner. What if something, you know, just some random fluke thing?
Or some guy is being, or someone is being malicious.
Yeah, and doing it on purpose.
And doing it on purpose, targeting Americans. I mean, they are all Americans. That's pretty odd. Nobody else has died?
No. That's scary stuff, though. I mean, because honestly, I think that's happened to everyone while traveling. You fall ill, and I've never once considered going to the doctor when I'm on a trip.
I think you got to go. I mean, if it's that bad.
If it's that bad. You know. But, you know, even if it's not like a third world country sort of thing, just the idea of doctors on vacation, it's a lot. Like, if you ever, we were in Hawaii a number of years ago, and I stepped on what are the little spiny things? What are they called? Sea urchins, right?
Okay.
You know, the little, I don't know.
Like the seahorse?
No, the little spike balls. I think they're sea urchins. You know, like they sit on like the coral,
Colorado Rockies?
The coral reef, you know, and the needles break off.
Whatever.
I believe it's a sea urchin. Bottom line is I stepped on it, and all those little needles break off in your foot, and it is horrific.
Really?
It's awful. And it's like poisonous. Your foot swells, and it's really bad. And it's not like I had like, you know, 15 of them, but there was three or four in there. And so, you're trying to pull them out and everything. I did everything I could to avoid the doctor on that. I was just like, nope, not going to the doctor. And that's in the United States.
Right.
I just didn't want to. I'm like, am I going to go find like a doctor in Hawaii? I don't know my doctor over here. I called my doctor at home. Because after like a day, it was so bad, the swelling, I was like, hey, do I need to go see someone? He's like, yeah, you do. I was like, son of a gun. Like, it took my wife had to like drag me to get me to go to a doctor for something simple as stepping on a sea urchin. You put me in the Dominican Republic, my foot would have to be falling off. I'd have to lose a toe.
You know, a lot of people are like you.
Yeah.
They're like that. They won't go. And most of the time, they're probably fine. You know?
Yeah.
But in this instance, it hasn't been fine with 10 of them.
Well, that's
but
what
you know
scares
what
me
they
is
do
I would be one of those people. I'd be like, I am not going to the doctor. I feel a little sick. I ate something bad. I'll be fine in 2 days.
You'd be dead.
You know, I'm dead.
Yeah. What they do now is they have, I think our insurance even offers this, where they have like the dial-a-doctor type of thing.
Yeah, the video. You like
the video. You video
Skype conference with the doctor.
Yeah, which that's not, for something like this.
Would be great.
That's not a bad play.
Because it's all about the comfort of I don't want to waste vacation time going to a doctor's office, especially a doctor that I don't know and trust. I'm going to get Dr. Nick Riviera, was it the Simpsons guy? Dr. Nick Riviera from like the Dominican Republic. No, I'm not doing that.
All right, we got to run. Coming up next, John wraps it up. We're out here at Langdon Farms for the Fan Golf Classic. Day one, we'll be out here again tomorrow as well. It is 6:44. This is The Fan.
Big Bad John.
We don't get a drunken Jason Quick. That's unfortunate. Although there he is right there. Look at, just as I say that, he walks up. He's rubbing his head as if he had a bad round of golf, but we're almost done here, so we'll let him. Should we leave him be? Look at him.
I think we'll leave him.
Look
be.
At him over there.
He's got a
somebody
kind of
just shoot his dog.
He's got a defeated walk about him.
He does.
He's strolling right now.
By the
now.
Way, is he trying to get out of here?
I feel like maybe he's exiting stage left.
We'll have to see about that. Well, we'll let him go. I'm sure
he's had enough
his fair share.
How many people out on the course today were like, quick, tell us about Kent Bazemore?
Yeah, totally. All right, so here's John. Hello. How are you?
Look, if I'm going to get bumped, there's no shame in getting bumped for drunk Jason Quick.
No, you're right.
Drunk Jason Quick is the best Jason Quick, but he may be going to lay down somewhere. It looked like he had a few.
Yeah, and he's by himself and
I've been bumped a handful of times on this fine program, and there's no shame in drunk Jason Quick.
I will tell you this. If you are going to go out and about on the town, like you're going to bang the city head on, you can do a lot worse than going out with Jason Quick. I can tell you that. I've done that a couple times, and Quick is a great partner in crime.
All right. How's the old golf tournament today?
Great. You played in it once, didn't you? Or no, you just came out here.
No, I played in the first two, and then mysteriously I've never been invited back. So can read into that. You can read into that any way you want. Either I'm not good at golf, or something went wrong the first two times.
Well,
or
I think what happened is this. See, back in the day, the station really consisted of me and Rob and Swag. And I'm not like kidding. There was three of us. That's what we had. So, like, when it came time for, like, the client round, You were the closest thing we had to someone else on air that we could go like and like and be like, hey, this guy's on the air. And I think what happened is over the years is we turned into a real radio station with other people besides the two of us. And I think that's probably what happened, to be honest with you.
So what you're saying is my slot was given to actual employees of the station.
Yes, I believe that to be the case.
Okay.
Did you play with clients or listeners?
I did one of each. The first year I played with the boss and clients. And didn't play very well, but we had fun. And then the second year, I played with listeners, and we had a lot of fun. And then I was never invited back. So I just assumed, like you said, maybe something had gone wrong, or every year I wait for my invitation, and every year it doesn't come. So I just sit and watch.
What we need to have happen next year is we just need someone, we need to do a let's get John in the tournament where someone buys a foursome, and one of those spots goes to the big fellas can get him out here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a great idea.
That's probably the only way I'm getting invited back, because I think you're right. I think I was a celebrity one time, and then now I'm not a celebrity anymore because you have actual celebrities.
You shouldn't take this personally, although Jason may be onto something with that. Here's my theory on this, and this has been foolproof over the 15 years. Actually, longer, 18 years that I've worked at Intercom Portland. Generally, what happens is, for example, thank God for Langdon Farms and their continuity, because we have no continuity in our staff.
No.
To the point where the people that put together the tournament 2 years after you had played had no idea that you had played because they're all new.
That's about
it. And the other people had been fired.
That's also probably true, yeah.
So the only constant in this whole thing is Alicia, who is doesn't even work at Intercom anymore, but she still does this for us.
They hired her.
Because she knows what she's doing. So if we mention it to Alicia, problem solved.
Yes.
The problem has just been it slipped through the cracks because the last person got fired or left, and there's a new person running it, and they have no idea who you even are.
There's a lot of turnover. How about that? John, all you need to know is I've been here for 16 years, and I met our new boss, and she asked me what I did for the company.
That's a true story.
That is a true story.
I believe it, and I would have paid money to listen to your response.
By the way, he gives a crap about it still to this day.
Yes.
Now, let me – I forgot to tell you this. But, okay, here's a fun story for you guys. So when I had to host that event where our big CEO, bigwig boss, was in town.
Yeah, the head of Intercom, David Field, is out of Philadelphia. He was in town for some sort of like fireside chat hosted by one – I Everett Rock.
It was like a TED Talk type of thing, and he was in town, and he's a big deal.
Yes.
And, he's the biggest of deals when it comes to Intercom. There's nobody bigger. His dad started the company. So Kim, the woman who did not know what you did, takes me over to David and says, hey, you remember Isaac? He's like, oh, yeah, you're my favorite radio host in all of Intercom. And I was like, oh, thanks.
How many times do you think he uses that line?
Oh, he didn't say that. I was kidding.
Oh.
Totally joking.
I thought he said that, and I was just like, that probably is holstered wherever he goes.
No, he doesn't.
It's a good line.
No. He was like, hey, nice to see you,
sure,
meet you. Who are you?
I've heard of you once.
So Kim tells that story. She goes, his partner, because David knows who we are, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
It's kind of like how we know Kent Bazemore at this point. We're Kent Bazemore to Intercom Radio.
We've been at the company long enough that he's like, oh, there's that guy. Yeah.
I've heard of that guy.
So Kim tells that story to David, and David goes, so what does he do again? And she's like, it's his partner. It's his. They're on the air together. So it's a fine moment in Chicanic fan history that will be told when you're fired.
Every now and then when something like that happens, they're just like, even though you're like, God, that stings a little bit, you're kind of happy that it occurred simply because it's just a funny story. My room, I had a roommate in college who was our left tackle. I was his roommate for 3 years. A great guy. His name was Ford Poston. And to this day, he'll still every now and then he'll chime in. It was his favorite thing ever. Norm Chow was my offensive coordinator at BYU. And it was my redshirt freshman year, and we were going into spring ball, and Norm came up to me, and I was walking with my buddy Ford, and he came up to me and just said, as we were getting ready, it was like our first day of spring practice, and we were walking out to the walking down the locker room, and he tells me how important I am and how they really need me to have a great spring. And, you know, they're counting on me taking a starting spot this year. And you know, this really nice thing. And I was like, wow, Norm Chow. I don't know if he had ever spoken two words to me. Before that, I was just a taxi squad guy, right? Redshirt. And so I was all excited about it. And so, like, a day or two later, we're a practice or two in, and we're walking into it again, or we're walking to the locker room, and I see Norm and Ford's walking with me again. And I went up to ask Norm Chow a question.
Uh-oh.
And Norm looked right at me, and Norm goes, who are you? And Ford just, and I thought he was kidding, and he didn't. Like, and Ford thought it was the greatest thing ever. I think, like, he thought I was someone else the other day when he talked. He had no idea who I was.
Oh, he mistook you.
He mistook me for someone else. We heard through the grapevine that he was talking about someone else. He just mistook me for another player that he was counting on.
Wow.
And that, to this day, was Ford's favorite story.
But he made you feel good.
for like a day, he made me feel great.
He had a stroke and thought you were Ty Detmer, and it was 1994.
Yeah. So Ford used to always love coming up to me, and he would do Norm Chow's accent, and he'd be like, he's like, you're the number two center. And I'd be like, in the country? No, on this team. He just loved to give me crap. But like, that's one of those weird moments that, you know, you just, you feel good for a moment, and then you realize how insignificant you really are.
All right, thank you, John.
All right, go golf.
All right. Have a good night. Okay, we're out of here. We're back here tomorrow at Langdon Farms for day two of the Cooney Lexus of Portland Fan Golf Classic. Hopefully it will be as nice a day tomorrow as it is and has been today. Enjoy your evening, and we'll see you tomorrow at 3. Dusty and Cam on bright and early in the morning here on 1080 The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.